Good morning. Thanks, Davila. I'm going to read from Colossians 3 if you want to turn there. While you're turning there, let me remind you, this evening we are together to worship together and wait on God. We'll be here at 6:30 and do that for a little while. If you're able to join us, we'd love for you to be here. Tuesday evening we'll be together to pray together at 8 o'clock on Zoom. And we'd love for you to join us if you're able to do that as well. And we'll be together on Friday morning at 9:30 if you're able to join us for that, to pray together. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism." We began last week looking at the issue of reconsecrating ourselves to God. I told you that in May, Elim had a new general superintendent, and he'd called the Elim movement to reconsecrating ourselves. Mark Pugh, the new general superintendent, says, "Consecration involves dedicating our lives and all that we steward to the glory of God." And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about focus. Because to be consecrated requires that I fix my focus accordingly. In order to dedicate my life and all that I steward to the glory of God, my focus has to be on him and his glory. I can't say my life and all that I steward is dedicated to the glory of God when my focus is primarily on something else. And I know no shortage of Christians whose primary concern is their own reputation, their own life. their own comfort or legacy or their family's reputation, comfort, life, legacy. And they love the idea of God helping them on the way with those things. But it's not really about him, it's about them. And I'm going to say to you at the outset of looking at this idea of consecration with you over the next number of weeks, that without the right focus, it's impossible to be truly consecrated. We can play games about appearing to be consecrated, about how we look in the eyes of others to be fully surrendered to the Lord. But it will only ever be about appearances without the right focus. Colossians 3 and verse 17 instructs me that whatever I do, whether in word or in deed, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything I do is meant to be done in his name. Not just the stuff of my Christian walk, not just certain aspects of my life. Everything I do bears his name, and in everything I am meant to be focused on him. And I wonder this morning if some of our challenge is that we've missed the invitation of Christ in the gospel. Jesus is not my sidekick. He didn't come to facilitate a better life for me when I choose to invite him. He is Lord, and he invites me to die to myself and to live for him. That's the message of the gospel. Luke 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6 and verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5 and verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I've died, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3. And it's not just that I've died. Ephesians 2 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. So because of my position in Christ, I am urged to ensure my focus is given appropriately. Colossians 3 and verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Romans 8 and verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. There is a reorientation of my life and what it is given to in coming to Christ. My mind is no longer set on earthly things. My heart is no longer set on earthly things. But I set my heart on things above where Christ is seated. And I set my mind on things above. And so here's the fundamental truth. There is a choice about what you give your heart and your mind to. And where you set it. Paul writes to instruct the Colossians that because of what has happened in their salvation, because they have died to sin, it's no longer them who lives, they've been raised with Christ, and they are seated with him in heavenly places, that they must choose to set their mind and their heart appropriately. It is a decision. It has to be a decision because otherwise you cannot follow the instruction. And so I am meant to have my heart and mind set not on earthly things, but on something bigger. Ephesians 3 and verse 18. That's not Ephesians. It's Philippians. It says, for as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are in a land that you would not necessarily call home. I, for some time in 2020, lived in Australia. I liked Australia. It was very pleasant. If you're ever thinking about visiting, I'd recommend it. Lovely. And I would observe the Australian news from time to time. But a whole lot of Australian news bothered me not a jot. because I had no real concern for their politics or the world in which they operate. I knew very little about all that was going on in Australian public life. What I found myself doing again and again while I was in Australia was going to BBC News and reading about home, finding out what was going on back home, thinking about what was happening in my homeland, the place where my citizenship was, the place I knew and understood, the place I was familiar with and loved. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. But here's the truth. My citizenship is in heaven. And in the same way, I'm meant to give myself to thinking of it, my homeland, the place where I belong, not getting caught up too much in all that's going on here and now, but reflecting on the place I call home, really. And with that, there is an understanding that everything that I see is not the sum of all that there is. Everything that I see right now is not the sum of all that there is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the confidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Not everything I see is eternal. The vast majority of what I see is not. And everything that I see is not the sum of all that there is. I can choose to fix my eyes this morning on what is unseen, because there is more to life than what is visible right now. And there's some stuff that doesn't last. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can build a great bank account here, but it doesn't last. You can store treasures for yourself on earth. You can concern yourself with accumulating stuff, but it doesn't last forever. And setting my heart on things above and my mind on things above chooses to focus my attention on the stuff. There's some stuff that just doesn't last. And I can pursue things that don't last and don't matter. I made reference last week to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I train myself to be godly because it lasts. It has value for the here and now, and value for tomorrow, and value for the next day, and value for eternity. And so I focus my attention on the stuff that lasts. G. Jesus says this staggering thing in Luke 10. Verse 17 says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. They've come back. He sent the 72 out. They've come back. They've had a whale of a time. Lord, even the demons submit to us. It's been a little good period of ministry for them. And Jesus says there's something that matters more than this. While you're celebrating that the demons submit, actually what you should be celebrating is that your name is written in heaven. That your eternity is secure, that you belong to him and you're his forever. It's not what I would focus on in that moment. It's not what most of us would focus on if we're honest in that moment. We'd focus on the significant difference we'd made to people's lives. But what matters most is eternity. Fixing, setting my mind and heart on the things that are above acknowledges I come to one who knows me and knows what I need. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Don't worry, saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For the pagans run after all of these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. I spent some time with you looking at Romans 11. From him, through him and to him are all things. To focus your attention on things above, not on earthly things. I come to a God this morning who created all things, who sustains all things, and all things serve his purpose. He's in control of it all, and he knows what I need. And I find myself at times caught up in worrying about the incidental stuff and the small things because something has gripped my attention. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. And says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4 says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. There's some stuff I don't need to get caught up in. There's some stuff that's actually just going to be a distraction from the purpose I'm meant to be serving. There's some stuff that happens in life that doesn't need my attention or focus. And I'm going to say to you, there's a lot of drama happens in life. There's a lot of stuff goes on that's there to entangle you and steal your attention. But no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. My commanding officer is Christ, and my concern is with pleasing him. Paul in Colossians 1 prays that the Colossians might live a life worthy of the calling they've received, pleasing him in every way and bearing fruit in every good work. That's the life I want to live, but it's a choice of focus day by day on him and heaven. And we do love you, Jesus. It's a decision that I'm not getting caught up with this, but with this. That what matters is not everything I see right now and everything I face right now, but eternity and him and his glory and heaven. Hebrews 12, verse 1, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Verse 3 invites me to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that I would not grow weary. Fixing my eyes on Jesus. Running with endurance the race marked out for me. Not allowing my attention to be stolen by the issues that come and go, by the various obstacles I face and the stuff that happens, by the opposition I face, but going and going and going with my focus on him, remembering I'm not the only one to have had it hard here. I'm not the only one to have walked it tough. I'm not the only one who found it difficult. He endured opposition himself. And I'm meant to consider that so that I don't grow weary and lose heart. I'm meant to think about the fact that everybody didn't celebrate Jesus. that before the cross, they repeatedly tried to kill him. The people didn't embrace him with open arms and say, oh, it's great to have you here. But he was despised and rejected. And I'm going to talk to you over the next number of weeks about consecration and some aspects of that. But it starts in this place. I want to live for the glory of God. So I have to focus my attention on Him and His glory. It's not an accidental byproduct. I want to serve His purpose, so I set my heart on things above and my mind on things above, not on earthly things. I get caught up in the stuff that is bigger than and greater than. I'm concerned more with pleasing Him than impressing you. I'm concerned more with the fact that I'm accepted in heaven than you like me and I do what you do. I'm concerned more that my eternity is secure than I leave some impression on this earth. And I don't know if you've ever been in this place. Where you're a big fish in a small pond. But at times it's easy for me to be impressed at my own holiness, surrounded by the right people. There's times where I get dead impressed with myself if I surround myself with certain people. Because I'm not like them. And I seem to be doing so well in comparison in my walk. And we don't say it out loud. You don't, that's not the confession of your mouth, you know. We're humble. But also think, oh, we're doing quite well at this. I'm quite a good Christian. And then you have those moments where you meet people who put you utterly to shame. Who seem to be living in a different realm altogether. You thought you were doing quite well and then you met them. You thought you were Listen, they're on another level altogether. And there's a danger that when we come to this issue of consecration, what we do is do enough to make ourselves feel good about us. That it's enough that we compare ourselves to our small circles at times and go, yeah, I'm more consecrated than them. That I'm walking better than some of these people. Setting my heart on things above and my mind on things above means my measure is from above. And my concern is, am I doing all that He's asked of me? Am I living according to His ways? Am I living in light of all that he has said? Am I functioning in how he has called me to function? Not am I better than Billy? For those members of our youth. Right? Because that's how... I want to set my heart in a place that means I'm not mistaken about something. I need to shut up and time's gone. But in order to take this seriously, and that's entirely up to you, there has to be a determination of focus that isn't about everybody else or anybody else, that isn't about how everybody else sees it or what everybody else thinks, that isn't about trying to justify myself in light of others, but is focused on things above. The fact that Christ is seated in eternity, that he sees all things and knows all things, that he's reigning. And perhaps there's some stuff that's stolen your focus. There's some stuff that you go, do you know what? I'm not fixed on eternity, right? My heart is not set on those things. My mind is not given to those things. It's an opportunity to make that choice. Today. Tomorrow. Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it goes on. Because if I don't make the choice to fix my focus, then whatever happens will get my focus. If I don't make the determination that I am focusing on what's above, that I'm setting my heart there, then whatever happens will get it. Whatever goes on in my day will get my mind's attention. Whatever drama happens in my life, whatever challenge I face, Proverbs 4 and verse 23 tells me to guard my heart. Because everything I do, everything flows from it. And I was reflecting on what Paul invites me to in Colossians 3 and verse 1, to set my heart on things above. And I thought, what better way to guard my heart? I've listened to people tell me how to guard my heart over time in various ways, and to be suspicious of other people and to treat other people badly and to get concerned with things that... But actually, if my heart is given heavenward and my focus is on pleasing my master, I can trust him with it. Now, like I said, I need to shut up because time's gone. But there's some stuff that'll distract you over time. And actually, I need to choose to focus on him, on things above, and not lose sight of that in the midst of the challenges of life. Shall we stand together and worship?